and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. Double weather trouble in the Pacific Northwest. Freezing rain is starting to push into the Portland area just days after an ice storm that caused tens of thousands of power outages. Many are still offline. Poppy Chowdhury with Pacific Power.
Ice and snow is getting accumulated on the power equipment that is causing heavy damages, and hence we're having some delay in getting the restoration work completed.
Bitter cold settled in the south. Meteorologist Samantha Moore at the Weather Channel.
And Nashville wind chill factors, that feels like temperature 6 degrees below zero. Little Rock feeling like it's at 2, and Jackson, Mississippi feeling like it's 10 degrees. We don't warm up much at all, staying below freezing in many of these locations.
The Republican presidential candidates have moved on to New Hampshire ahead of next week's primary, among them Nikki Haley, who's been touting herself as a more youthful option.
We should want to win the majority of Americans. But the only way we're going to win the majority of Americans is if we have a new generational leader.
Haley came in third behind former President Trump and Ron DeSantis in the Iowa caucuses. President Biden meets with congressional lawmakers today in his push to send billions more in military funding overseas. Correspondent Scott McFarlane.
The White House had requested tens of billions of dollars in aid for Ukraine and aid for Israel. And quite simply, that aid request has stalled. There's been gridlock between congressional Republicans and Democratic negotiators. Republicans want new U.S. immigration law, a real thorny issue, before approving Ukraine aid. And House Republicans insisted on cuts to the IRS to pay for Israel.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken speaking openly about the Israel-Hamas war at the World Economic Forum in Davos today.
For me, I think for so many of us, what we're seeing every single day in Gaza, it's gut-wrenching.
A shipment of medicine intended for dozens of hostages held by Hamas is en route to Gaza, the delivery arranged by France and Qatar. Rescue workers say at least 15 people have been killed in an explosion at a fireworks factory in Thailand. Vicky Barker is at the foreign desk.
Shaky phone footage shows people running from the scene as explosions rock the road. Gray smoke billows into the sky. Yellow flames lick at the grass and trees. One man is seen running, holding a small girl.
That $35 you're hit with when you spend more than you have in your bank account could go away, part of it, if the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau gets its way. The agency is proposing a rule to limit overdraft fees to between $3 and $14. Dow futures off 154. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio. Refreshed.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Senate Republicans voted to fire another one of Governor Evers' appointees Tuesday, this time Tyler Huebner of the state's Public Service Commission. Evers is appointing Christy Nieto to take his place. Senate Republicans have fired 8 of Evers' appointees since last fall. The keynote speaker at this year's State of Wisconsin Martin Luther King Day celebration says he wants the promise of justice one day to happen now.
It is ridiculous that people are attacking diversity, equity, and inclusion, but refuse to implement laws to remove guns from the hands of those who continue to shoot innocent children in schools and malls and even in faith places.
The Reverend Marcus Allen is a Baptist minister in Madison. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
The Badgers lose on the road. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Wisconsin Badgers fall to the Nittany Lions at Penn State. Matt LePay.
With 0.4 seconds left, they'll get it into Baldwin. It's over. Penn State, a four-point winner here at the Bryce Jordan Center as the students make their way onto the floor here in State College.
The final 87-83. The Badgers got into foul trouble early. Head coach Greg Gard.
4 times we fouled jump shooters, and we hadn't done that in a while. I thought we had kind of move past that.
So now the Badgers are 13-4. They host Indiana Friday night. NFL, the Packers installing the game plan for Saturday night's game against the 49ers. Sometimes teams go a day early when playing games on the West Coast, but Matt LaFleur declined.
It's something we talked about, but we figured it'd be best to stay in our normal routine. It's a short week anyways, has its own set of challenges, and just felt like it was best for us to stay in as normal as a routine as possible.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Partly to mostly cloudy today. We'll get to around 9 for a high this afternoon. It's still cold. The wind chill will be well below zero here for a good chunk of the day today. Tonight down to 4 below. Tomorrow a little sun early, then cloudy. High of 9 above. Some light snow is possible tomorrow night. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 1 above.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio. Refreshed. Step on up and enjoy what's on tap today. Local talk about the valley and all of Wisconsin. In fact, it's on tap every day. This is 93.5 The Tap.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wasota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It's 6:06 on this Wednesday morning, January 17th. And it's another beautiful, cold, but beautiful day to have you here up north, live from Lake Wasota. From wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network. Let me turn some knobs and switches here so I can hear everything just right. There you go. You might be listening through the Civic Media app or somewhere on social media. I know at least somebody is here as I go over to the Facebook comments. And let's see, it's Curtis saying good morning from the north woods of Eagle River, Wisconsin. Curtis, thank you very much. And thanks for chiming in. You can do the same here on the Facebook pages for Civic Media or for Up North News. Put a comment there. We may throw it up on screen. Of course, you can always reach us as well at 844-967-2789. And I know what the early morning is like. There's not the, you know, the fireworks of the middle of the day when, you know, calls are pouring in to Todd Alba or to Matt Flynn or anybody. It's early. We're just getting going. You're maybe not wanting to dial the phone and going, I want to have a talk on live radio statewide at this hour when my voice might crack and I haven't had my coffee yet, but you still have an opinion on something or you have a question about something. Well, that same number can be used for a text, and we'd love to get a text from you as well at 844-967-2789. Either just throw us a good morning and tell us where you're listening from, or just ask us a question or a comment. You can also do that through the Civic Media app. You should really feel free to download that and listen. And for example, if you're in your car commuting, you can put that through the Bluetooth in your car and take us along in case you don't have a Civic Media radio station handy. So I've got a question for you to get this Wednesday morning started. Is there anybody out there who doesn't think Donald Trump is still inspiring others to undermine American democracy? I mean, the latest example of it happened just yesterday in the state capitol building of the state of Wisconsin in Madison. And we'll tell you more about that and just ask you again to consider that whether Donald Trump wins or loses this year, do we think that his brand of undermining democracy is going to go away? I mean, even if he loses, it's still going to inspire some people to say, well, this is a movement that must go on. And like I said, it's a movement that we see in our own Wisconsin legislature. Details coming up in just a bit because, you know, a slow motion putsch is still a putsch. And so we'll talk to State Senator Jeff Smith from Eau Claire in our second hour today about what's happening in the legislature. He also is one of the authors of a bill to reform how voting is done in Wisconsin. It's something called ranked choice voting and final five primaries. We've talked about it briefly, but we finally get to have Senator Smith on to explain it in more detail. And again, I'm not in any way, shape, or form selling it as, you know, the be-all and end-all of voting reform, but it might be something that voters find useful, especially if they want to break the stranglehold of the two-party system and be able to vote for maybe a couple of different people, but just rank them. It doesn't mean they have to vote for all Democrats or all Republicans. They might see the occasional person from the other side of the aisle and say, I think this person might be worth checking out. So we'll talk to Senator Smith about that. We'll also talk to Melissa Baldoff. Of course, she's part of our Wednesday climate check, and she will be joining us along with Chelsea Chandler from Clean Wisconsin. But first, Melissa and I will talk in a few minutes here again about legislative Republicans firing another one of Governor Tony Evers' appointees, this one on the Public Service Commission. We'll visit with Melissa Kay from Locally Grown Radio in Wisconsin Rapids. She'll be part of our daily history lesson and musical memories. We'll talk to Todd Alba and find out what's coming up on his show later today. And we'll talk to Jimmy Koska, who we've frequently talked to in the vein of high school sports, but he is also a school board member in his community. And he is part of several school board folks and educators who are heading toward Milwaukee for the Wisconsin Association of School Boards annual conference. And we'll find out from a school board member perspective what kinds of issues they will be discussing on this still bone-chilling Wednesday morning. Temperatures are either side of 0 degrees Fahrenheit right now in Chippewa Falls here on Lake Wissota. It's 2 above. Hayward's at 5 above. Park Falls, you done run out of degrees. You're at 0 right now. So is Green Bay. Wausau's at 4 below. La Crosse, 2 below. Wisconsin Rapids, 4 below 0 right now. Oshkosh, -1. Madison, 1 above. And in Waukesha right now, it is 6 degrees below 0, which is also where we find Greg Bach, who on the first day back from vacation yesterday, as he gives us the traditional Ed McMahon salute. You learned that from... Yes! With the twirl of the hand, the twirl, yes, of the wrist, as you will. Who yesterday, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, because, you know, you kind of got a little adrenaline coming back from, you know, vacation and ready to get at it. And then that second day back's a little rougher. Like, oh, this is what we're doing again. Yeah, exactly. Yes. But here you are. Here you are.
Here I am. And Waukesha winning it with the coldest temperature. Boom. What's up?
That's happened. Yeah, that's happened a couple of times here lately. I mean, yesterday was one of those days where Fairbanks, Alaska was warmer than most of the lower 48, as, you know, a big old pile of cold air slid down and has just made life really adventurous for us this week.
Stepped into a snowbank for the second day in a row and working shootless right now because my feet are freezing.
Ooh, yes. Yikes.
I think I might bring a pair of slippers.
You know, there's nothing wrong with that. Yeah. If that's where you're going to be all the time. And I found a really great pair. I don't remember the brand name. I saw that my brother-in-law had it. You know, they're just a little bit more sturdy. They're I guess they're shoes, but they're more like slippers. And, you know, but you can just keep those indoors there.
Yeah.
And that way you're not walking around in your wet stocking feet all the time.
Right. Exactly. You get it.
Yeah, I do. I've been in radio stations many a time. You don't want to be walking around barefoot in some of those places here. Our daily newsletter at Up North News comes out every morning, bright and early, and Christina Lurie puts that together. You can sign up for it over at upnorthnewswi.com. One of the stories in today's edition is about how a Wisconsin-based chain of brew pubs now has a brewery open in Japan. It's something that the Great Dane Brewery, based in the Madison area, has been pursuing for some time and then made it come true. So Christina's got that story and much more in our newsletter. You can, again, go to upnorthnewswi.com and take a look at it there. Let's take a quick look at sports here at 6:14, because the Wisconsin Badger men's basketball team was upset last night while in Penn State. The 11th-ranked Badgers never really got on track and lost to the Nittany Lions 87-83. So Penn State knocked off the last unbeaten team in the Big Ten. The Badgers are now 5-1 on the season. Next, they will host Indiana, and that will be at the Kohl Center on Friday night. The Badger women's basketball team They were thumped by Iowa, the number two team in the nation, 96-50. Of course, Iowa has the great Caitlin Clark, who scored 32 points and passed Brittany Griner to move into fourth place all time for NCAA Division I women's basketball scoring. The Badger women are now 1-6, and they will host the Minnesota Gophers next week, Tuesday. The Milwaukee Bucks, they play tonight. That'll be in Cleveland against the Cavaliers. And you can catch Bucks basketball on several Civic Media radio stations, including Oshkosh Air Support, News from the Center in Richland Center, Lake Air in Amory, WRJN in Racine, and 98Q Country in Park Falls. As the Bucks continue a road trip, they won't be back home now for another, I think they're back home a week from tonight, as they've got a few games on the road here. And of course, you know, the Packers continue to prepare for the 49ers. That again is a Saturday night game, 7:15. Fox has it on TV, but you can catch it on Civic Media radio stations, including WRCO, Radio from the Center in Richland Center, WRJN in Racine, and 98Q Country WCQM in Park Falls to catch a game that, again, now somebody had said, Greg, they're tired of hearing the phrase house money. I still think it's a great phrase for this, that the Packers got nothing to lose. I mean, the expectations are low. The team is young. And they're like, if I hear that term playing with house money one more time, well, give me a better expression then, because it's just a way of saying, you know what, just get in there and play it and let's see what happens.
And also, why does it bother you so much?
Well, I mean, I can see if you hear something enough times, but I haven't heard enough times yet, because I think it's apt in this situation.
Yeah.
What has been especially delicious though is as I scroll through TikTok, which unfortunately I'm doing way too often these days, but the clips, first there were the clips where people juxtapose what some of the talking heads in sports were saying, you know, a couple of months ago. Oh, Jordan Love is a bust. Oh, Jordan Love is not going to last. Jordan Love this. And hearing them after the game going, that Jordan Love, he's the real deal, you know. And what you're not seeing in those clips is them saying, boy, did I get that wrong. Oh, boy, do I stink.
They never do that. They're like politicians in that sense. They've just I'm Jordan Love. I'm on the Love train. Love it. This kid's gonna be the next franchise player.
Do you know who's been really happy about all of this? TV meteorologists. There's one here in the Chippewa Valley who put up, and this was delicious because this has happened at least three different times this year in the Packers' first game against the Bears, the Thanksgiving game against the Lions, and then this past weekend. You can get a freeze frame, a screen grab from these pregame shows where they ask everybody to make their picks. And all across the screen, there's not a single Packer logo. They all picked the Bears in week one. You know, they all picked the Lions on Thanksgiving. You know, they all picked the Cowboys. And he put up a picture of a screen grab of all those players, of all those analysts, those talking heads, with the Dallas Star below them. And the caption is, "Don't tell me whether people are the only ones who keep their job, even if they get their guesses wrong." And he's absolutely right. Yeah. You know, it's not just the weather people. It's these goofballs who, again, have been writing off the Packers all year, which, again, understandable, young, but it just makes it that much better.
Plus, those guys also, I'm sorry, I don't care what sport you're talking about. Everyone likes to poo-poo on Wisconsin teams. We're never properly respected. And then when it comes time for it, they're like, I guess they're pretty good.
Yeah, it is. It's Wisconsin against everybody. Exactly. That's how it works here.
Exactly.
That's the attitude we're taking into Saturday night. We'll pause here, and then when we come back, we'll unpack some of the news, including the latest out of the state capitol, the continued efforts to undermine the will of the voters in Wisconsin. Wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this nice Wednesday morning, you're live from Lake Wissota up north here on a Wednesday on Up North News Radio. Back in a bit.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us. and click on the Careers tab.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it. Navigating without a compass, eyes waiting, started to wonder, metamorphosis, loss of who you thought you was.
When your kid can't find the language, help them find the lyrics. Listen to the Sound It Out album and get tips and tools to start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
I understand that it's downright radio cliche to play Manic Monday on a Monday morning. So you're going, why? Why is it here on Wednesday? Well, as part of today's history lesson in a half hour, we're going to talk about Susanna Hoffs from the Bengals and a milestone birthday. That's going to blow your mind when you do the math on this. That's coming up just about 30 minutes from now. Look, one of the big challenges that we face in this country is too many people taking for granted the how fragile our democracy really has been all this time. Yes, it has been tested through early and sometimes very divisive campaigns. Think Jefferson versus Adams. Yes, it's been tested by civil war. It's been tested by depressions and panics that led to the Gilded Age, but then led to a resurgence of labor power. It's been tested through World War. The tests are going to come. They're going to continue to come every so often where we have to ask ourselves, are we willing to do what it takes to protect what we have against those who would like to upend it, who would like to short circuit the way that we allow democracy to work. And the way that it works is that people vote, and then the votes are counted, and then the votes are respected. And democracy really is based on what the losers do. Do the losers respect the will of the voters and simply prepare to run again in a future election? Or do they work to undermine what they've lost? And that's, we've seen that numerous times now in both the federal and state governments for followers of Trump since 2020. And here in the Wisconsin legislature, the will of the voters that elected Governor Tony Evers in 2018 and again in 2022 has been undermined. The most recent example of that was when the Republican legislators in the state Senate yesterday voted to fire a member of the Public Service Commission, Tyler Huebner, simply because they want to try to wrestle control of government away from the executive branch, despite what you, the voter, said. Now, this is not the first time that Republicans have baselessly fired appointees for political purposes. In this case, they say that they don't like the fact that, the Public Service Commission was working on ways to help low-income families afford their water bills and didn't like the Public Service Commission having a focus on a changing climate. Those aren't reasons to fire somebody who wants to be a public servant and serve at the governor's pleasure the way that our state constitution calls for it to be done. But that's what they've done. They've also done it to, like I said, other folks in the past, including our friend Melissa Baldoff, who's normally here on Wednesdays to talk about a changing climate. And so when we talked to her late yesterday for that segment, I also wanted to talk to her a bit about what the Republican Senate did yesterday in firing another of the governor's appointees. Well, Melissa, I guess this is the weirdest case of deja vu that you'd hope to see.
It is, the deja vu all over again. The Republicans are just, the Senate Republicans are just never going to be happy with anything that the governor does. And for whatever reason, they want to make these, try to make these ridiculous points by firing people who are well-qualified public servants who are just doing their jobs. And it's just blows my mind that we're here yet again with them.
Well, especially when you say, you know, that they're going to, you know, have disagreements with the governor. Hey, legislature, the legislative branch and the executive branch in every state and in Washington, D.C., they've had disagreements for as long as we've had a republic. Mm-hmm. But while at that same time, respecting the will of the voters who chose the chief executive. So I don't think that Governor Evers is being the least bit hyperbolic when he talks about how this really is continuing to try to, as he put it, upend the basic functions of democracy and obstruct the peaceful and respectful transfer of power. Or the way that I would phrase it, giving the voters a big middle finger. Don't care who you voted for governor. We're going to take some of those duties away.
Yeah. And I think it's also, it is, you know, that big middle finger F you to the voters who elected the governor. And it's a huge middle finger F you to everyone who believes in democracy and wants to see our government function how it's supposed to. And this is a party. This is, you know, this is the party of Donald Trump who doesn't care. They don't care if the government functions well. That's not why they're doing this. They're not trying to get, you know, these crazy people into office because they care about good government. It's because they want to consolidate power for themselves and their donors and score these political points. And they don't care what the consequences are. I think they quite prefer the chaos and are trying to, you know, throw up these roadblocks. And, you know, with some of these issues as well, you know, they want to be, you know, it's like the people who set the house on fire and then call the fire department and want to get credit for putting it out. You know, they want it to be bad so they can justify, you know, further undermining the governor's authority. They want things to fail so they can say that it failed. These are just people who don't care about our government functioning well and serving the people of this state.
Well, it also strikes me as potentially a dress rehearsal for what either a Trump administration would look like, or frankly, anybody in that vein who's ever elected president. There's been all this talk about, you know, a right-wing group and what's been called Project 2025, which is essentially a dismantling of the civil service system that has helped America flourish for over a century now and allow, you know, even more presidential, more partisan, more political appointments. And Melissa, you know as well as I do the very real danger if we start to tear apart, you know, the tradition of nonpartisan or bipartisan civil service in this country.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it is very scary. I think you are right to, you know, raise the concern about this just being a dress rehearsal. What else are they going to do? You know, they have flexed their power a number of times and they haven't faced any consequences for it yet. They haven't, you know, I don't think they have really been made to pay a price for it by the media to the fullest extent that they should. And certainly there is the opportunity for them to pay at the ballot box later this year, and having fair maps is going to be a big part of that. But obviously we know they're fighting that. And, you know, I think we have every reason to be concerned about how they're going to approach the elections this year.
And I think that's where there needs to be discussion on, frankly, just reforming the nomination process, you know, reforming and strengthening civil service, reforming U.S. Supreme Court appointments, maybe getting rid of the filibuster. I think there's a lot of room to run on reform here before there's nothing left to reform. And Melissa, thank you for taking a little extra time with your expertise to tell us all about it. We'll talk to you in a couple of minutes here on our weekly climate check report. We're going to be learning about clean Wisconsin today, right?
That we are, yes. Very excited.
Okay. Looking forward to that. Thanks, Melissa. Talk to you again in a bit.
All right.
93.5 The Tap.
CBS News Brief. A new ice storm is moving into the Portland, Oregon area where many still have no electricity after bad weather over the weekend.
We had three oaks come down in the backyard, big ones that did damage to the roof. We had two fir trees come down in the front yards that took down power lines and everything, and that was all on Saturday morning.
Bitter cold settled in the east and the nation's midsection. Donald Trump takes a swipe at a competitor as the GOP presidential contenders move on to New Hampshire ahead of next Tuesday's vote.
Nikki Haley, in particular, is counting on the Democrats and liberals to infiltrate your Republican primary.
Mr. Trump, Haley, and Ron DeSantis all made stops in the Granite State. Secretary of State Blinken grapples with the war in Gaza during a stop at the World Economic Forum in Davos.
The suffering we're seeing among innocent men, women and children breaks my heart. The question is, what is to be done?
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A Democratic law firm is asking the state Supreme Court to reconsider the state's congressional maps. The Elias Law Group filed the case on Tuesday. They say that last month's decision to draw new legislative maps warranted another look at the state's congressional maps. Republicans currently hold six of the state's congressional seats. The court will have to move fast with just 11 months to go before the November election. Marshfield Clinic workers across Wisconsin are being furloughed. 3% of the nearly 12,000 people who work for the healthcare system have to take unpaid time off. The furloughs come after a round of budget cuts in November and after talks about a merger with Essentia Health fell through last week. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
Partly to mostly cloudy today. We'll get to around 9 for a high this afternoon. It's still cold. The wind chill will be well below zero here for a good chunk of the day today. Tonight down to 4 below. Tomorrow a little sun early, then cloudy. High of 9 above. Some light snow is possible tomorrow night. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 1 above.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
People across Wisconsin are enjoying the rewards, stability, and flexibility of a career in healthcare. Why not you? WISC Caregiver Careers can get you started as a certified direct care professional. You'll learn the skills you need to make life better for older adults or people with a disability. All training is free and online, plus earn $500 in bonuses. Start your new career. Sign up today at WISCCaregiverCDCP.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol salutes the work of Martin Luther King Jr. as we celebrate his accomplishments in civil rights, his leadership in fighting injustice through peaceful protest, the March on Washington, the Montgomery bus boycott, the Civil Rights and Voting Rights Acts, and more. He led the way for millions to work towards achieving equality. This week, join Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol in recognizing Dr. King's accomplishments and contributions with Civic Media.
From Lake Wissota State Park and the Pablo Center, the entire Chippewa Valley is tapping in to the station talking about your hometown. 93.5, The Tap.
It's electric!
We're back now on this Wednesday morning on Up North News Radio. Melissa Baldoff is back with us now, this time for our regular climate check segment and learning more about clean Wisconsin. Melissa, good morning.
Good morning.
So we've been trying to start off the year, kind of a reset on all kinds of climate matters related to Wisconsin. What's on our collective national and state to-do list? And to do that, we'd like to hear about some of the groups that are working on ways to bring attention to the topic, ways to impact policy. And Clean Wisconsin certainly fits the bill there. So, Melissa, if you want to say just a bit about that, then bring in our guest. That would be great.
Sure. I'm really excited to have joining us today Chelsea Chandler from Clean Wisconsin. Chelsea is somebody who is an expert when it comes to air quality and issues that are impacting rural Wisconsin, ag issues, kind of you name it. She's had experience across the spectrum of issues involving the clean economy and the progress we're making as we are putting forward new solutions and trying to make that progress that is going to help us achieve our goals to reduce carbon emissions and transition to cleaner energy throughout the state of Wisconsin. So I think we can kind of turn it over to Chelsea to tell us a little bit about herself and about Clean Wisconsin and what they've been up to lately.
Sounds great. Chelsea, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me. Clean Wisconsin has been around for over 50 years since the first Earth Day, and we work to ensure all Wisconsinites have access to clean air, clean water, clean energy, and a strong natural heritage. In my work on climate and energy and air issues, that covers kind of a big scope of work, everything from making sure we're using our energy wisely through conservation and energy efficiency to transitioning off of dirty fossil fuels, moving to clean sources like solar and wind energy, making sure that we're growing crops in a sustainable way in our agricultural field, and making sure that the way that we get around through transportation, the way that we, you know, live in our homes and in our businesses, that we're using energy wisely in our built environment as well.
You know, when you talk about the, you know, the pace of change, it actually ties in a bit to what we were just talking about with Republicans firing one of the PSC members. Not that we're going to ask you to get in the middle of that, but there was one of the Republican legislators made the comment at his confirmation hearing that he was under the impression that maybe Wisconsin was moving too fast in trying to get off of fossil fuels and into renewable energies. And so that's the way I would frame the question to you, Chelsea, is Wisconsin moving too fast?
I would say the opposite. I would say that we need to move faster and that a lot of other states, including many of our neighbors, are moving faster than we are. So we risk being left behind. There's so many benefits to the clean energy transition, to our climate, to our air quality. Both of those impact our health. And to our economy, too. I mean, solar and wind energy, wind even more so, are the cheapest forms of energy right now. And so it just makes so much sense to have more homegrown energy in Wisconsin instead of having to spend billions every year to import fossil fuels so we don't actually grow in Wisconsin. We do have plenty of sun here. We have plenty of wind here that we can take advantage of. And so I would say we absolutely need to kind of reverse and move much faster than we are right now, even though we are making good progress.
And what would you say are, some of the reasons why we are falling behind, some of our neighbors in the Midwest and in other states? Is it just as simple as, this is a political fight, or are there other issues that are factoring in as well?
Well, I mean, politics impact policy, and we don't have enough supportive policy in place right now. I think we've got a lot of goals, and we have kind of some voluntary initiatives. So, the governor created a goal to be to have 100% carbon-free electricity by 2050, but that is not binding. We do have a renewable portfolio standard on the books that is basically that. It is making that binding, but it's not 100%. It is much more modest than that. And it's 10%, and we met it back in 2013. So we haven't really upped our ambition in a decade. Meanwhile, our neighboring states have much more ambitious renewable portfolio standards. Minnesota is at 55%, Michigan 60%, Illinois is 50%. So again, just a very modest 10% that we've met isn't really pushing us in any other direction. Our major electric utilities in the state have goals to be 100% carbon-free by 2050, but again, that's not binding, doesn't speak to the pace in the near term. And we have seen some cases of like coal retirements getting delayed, for example. So having a firm, you know, requirements in place is going to help push us a lot faster. There's also, you know, some policies that would support building more renewable energy at a variety of scales, including smaller scale projects like rooftop solar. And so there's a lot of policies like that that we're a little bit behind on, that some other places have more progressive stances on, that would really help kind of accelerate and usher in this clean energy economy.
It would be nice if everybody just went along with embracing more renewable energy for altruistic reasons. But sadly, as we have found over the decades here, that is not the case with members of a certain political class. But it takes us to this other track, if you will, of discussion on renewable energy. And it's this: whether whatever your feeling is about the climate and your stewardship of it, embracing renewable energy, having a greener grid that's out there, has economic and other financial benefits. In other words, if you're not going to be doing it for the planet, you can do it for your wallet or for your bottom line. There is this, you know, constant concern that somehow going toward renewable, you know, is not cost effective. Chelsea, it seems to me, you know, everything I hear is just the opposite is true, is that we almost can't afford not to update the way that we're doing things.
Yeah, you know, from the standpoint of larger scale projects, absolutely. You know, wind energy is very, very cheap, cheaper than fossil fuels, same with solar energy. And it's really, if you can get past that upfront cost barrier, which can be a challenge for some people, you can get a good payback. And it's really a good investment. So if you're installing solar panels on your roof, you know, you've got to pay upfront. But then after, 7 years or so, it depends a little bit on kind of the economics, how big your system is, what, if you've got a net metering policy with your utility, how they're compensating you for that energy. You can make that money back, and then you've got free energy for the rest of the lifetime of those panels, which is often, you know, 25 plus years. So that certainly makes a lot of sense. It can make sense not to just install your own panels, but also to host them. We're seeing a lot of bigger projects come into some more rural areas where there's, you know, land that's really conducive for some of these solar arrays that's, you know, flat and dry and near a point where they can interconnect to the grid. And a lot of landowners and farmers are seeing that as a really important boost because they can lease their land to an energy company and get paid an annual amount for hosting those panels. That often far surpasses what they would make by growing crops on that land. And then there's also community-wide benefits of those programs or those projects too. So even if you don't own land and are directly leasing that land, communities, then, you know, the hosting towns and counties actually, per Wisconsin state law, get an annual check every year for hosting those bigger projects. So it's $4,000 per megawatt every year. So for a typical, say, 300 megawatt solar project, that's over $1 million. That's basically a blank check that gets split between the hosting communities, the local towns and counties, every year. So it's a really big boost and can be an investment in our rural communities. And, you know, I live in a rural part of the state where we're looking at putting in more renewable energy projects. And I see, you know, the state of our schools, of our roads, you know, looking at going to referenda to meet basic needs. And so that kind of income can really make a big difference in our rural communities too.
And, you know, that's, I think that's really interesting to hear you explain some of that, because one of the, frequent comments that we hear from, you know, detractors and people who are, you know, not really on board with the clean energy progress is that it is harmful to farmers and producers, and that it is somehow that there are negatives for folks in the agriculture community. And it sounds like there are, you know, a number of ways that it's, you know, it's quite the opposite, that there are benefits. So, what are the, ways that renewable energy is most compatible with agriculture, and how is it, actually a benefit for folks in those communities?
Yeah, I think it's very reasonable to think about solar energy as kind of a crop rotation on the soil. You know, it's not permanent. It has a longer lifetime. It's not something that you're, growing just one year at a time. But it's a great way to rest the soil for a little while, make sure that you're improving your soil health. You can get really great water quality benefits too by having more of a perennial cover under the panels. But it's also very compatible, because I've also heard this argument that, solar could be a threat to our food system, our ability to feed ourselves. But I think we need to take a step back and remember that agriculture is not just growing food. Agriculture, we use our land for food, for fiber, and for fuel. And so solar is just kind of meeting that latter use. It's really compatible with agriculture because we're already growing a lot of energy on our agriculture to grow energy. In Wisconsin, did a study last year where compared the energy that you can get out of a certain amount of land for solar panels and growing corn for ethanol, which is then blended into gasoline. And as electric cars take off, we're going to need more electricity. So that's really important. But it turns out when you compare the two, solar is 100 times more efficient than growing corn for ethanol. So the bottom line is we could meet all of our energy needs all of our clean energy needs by 2050 coming from solar, and use about a third of the land that we're using today to grow corn for ethanol. So it's not a big threat to our food system. We just need to think about ways that we can grow energy differently and more efficiently, because when you're talking 100 times more efficient, it seems like it makes a lot of sense, both from kind of an efficiency standpoint, it's like getting a higher yield out of your land, and then also from an economic standpoint, because as I was saying, you can make a lot more money from a solar lease than you can for, a typical row crop, and those benefits do extend across the community as well in terms of the economics, and then the soil health and the water quality benefits too.
To learn more about that, you head over to cleanwisconsin.org, and we haven't even gotten into the Action Network and becoming more of an advocate on behalf of these issues. But Chelsea Chandler, thank you so much for an introduction to it, and we'll look forward to visiting again soon.
Thank you so much.
And I should also note, of course, that the connection, she's in a very rural part of the western part of the state, so the internet connection for our conversation wasn't that great. We have a backup way of being able to take the recording directly off that person's computer, so we get this nice clear recording off the computer microphone and off the camera, and then they just have to upload it to us when the interview is over. Well, about 6 hours later, it was still uploading. So we said, never mind. We'll do our best with the internet quality connection. And, you know, that just tells you the expansion of broadband just can't happen fast enough around some parts of Wisconsin. Hey, Melissa Kay from Locally Grown Radio joins us for today's history lesson next. You're up north.
You're listening to 93.5, The Tap.
If you're looking forward to getting out on the bay or lake to ice fish or snowmobile, colder temperatures are here, but consider this.
Well, in a normal winter, starting sometimes Thanksgiving, ice starts to form. This year, we are a full 5-6 weeks behind our ice making.
That's Tom Derzwicki from Bayside Ice and Recovery in Suamico. He's been rescuing people and their trucks after falling through thin ice for more than 20 years.
The snow and the slush will cover up some bad spots. If you're on a pressure crack and you see snow and slush, you know, that crack, it appears to be maybe a foot, 2 feet wide, but on each side of that crack, you could have 10, 15 feet of bad ice on each side of that crack.
DNR officials say check with locals who know the conditions, but also know ice safety is never 100%.
Mother Nature doesn't care. If you're falling through, you're falling through.
300,000 people ice fish in Wisconsin. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
93.5 The Tap.
We're going to hear a few Bangles songs today because of the birthday girl, Susanna Hoffs, lead singer of the Bangles. Melissa Kay joins us from Locally Grown Radio in Wisconsin Rapids. Melissa, how are you?
Good morning. I'm pretty good. How are you?
I'm good. Are you up to speed on your Bangles history here? Is Bangles
no,
part of your musical
oof? You need to catch me up.
Oh, okay. just, again, when... people are they know, somebody turned a certain age, Pat's going to make a big deal out of it. When you hear musical groups or individuals from the 70s, 80s, or wherever, and you see them on the birthday list, and like Susanna Hoffs today, 65. I'm like, wow. That just doesn't seem right. How did that much time pass that quickly? But Greg, you said you've seen her lately.
Yeah.
Because I know she's still active out there.
She's still playing. She's still recording. She's still writing. Mm-hmm. She looks fantastic, and she does videos about, like, I just lived a normal life and I didn't like overindulge, and this is what you look like when you're happy and healthy, and you know, I was like, yeah. Oh, all right, that's great.
She always did seem to have that good vibe around yeah. her, as opposed to say the Go-Go's went through their a volatile time, shall we say, you know, living the life of a rock star. Susanna Hoffs did that to a much less extent.
Yeah.
Good Los Angeles girl there who helped form the Bangles with sisters Debbie and Vicky Peterson. Susanna Hoffs is 65 years old today. What is happening in Wisconsin Rapids these days, Melissa?
Well, we are gearing up for a mayoral race in Wisconsin Rapids. Mayor Shane Blazer decided not to run for another term, so he's actually going to be on Midday Magazine today to talk about just the city and his time in it, I believe. And then we'll be heading into primary with a new mayor race.
Yeah. We got a primary coming up February 20th, I believe. And then the general is April 2nd. So if you're not registered, get over to myvote.wi.gov and get that done and listen to Locally Grown Radio for the local issues about that. Yeah. Let's get back to the birthdays here. Here's Paul Young. Remember his big hit, Every Time You Go Away. He is 68. Paul Young is 68 years old today.
Paul Old.
Melissa's just like completely tuned you out and said, nope, the cat needs more attention than that joke does. You know?
Well, he's a little sad.
Benjamin Franklin was born this day in 1706. Al Capone on this day in 1899. Betty White would have been 101 today. Passed away a couple years back, just shy of 100. She was born this day in 1922. James Earl Jones is still with us. He is 93 years old today.
Wow.
I know.
Sounds 60.
Yep. Yeah, I'll never get tired of that voice, that's for sure.
No.
Steve Harvey is 67. Actress Zooey Deschanel is 44 years old today. The number one song this day in 1976 was by Barry Manilow. Of course, now you can't mention I Write the Songs without the little trivia twist behind it. Out of all the songs Barry Manilow wrote, and he wrote a lot of them, this was not one of them. I Write the Songs was written by Bruce Johnson of the Beach Boys.
Okay.
I know. See?
That's also funny. A very cocky statement, too. I write the songs that make the whole world sing.
And he didn't write it.
I think that was maybe part of his hesitation. Not only I didn't write it, it sounds, you know, but not only did it do well, it won the Grammy for Song of the Year in 1976. So sometimes it's good to swallow your pride a little bit. More birthdays. Jim Carrey is 62 years old today. Former First Lady Michelle Obama is 60 years old today. And Kid Rock, Robert Ritchie.
God.
Is his real name. Robert Ritchie of Romeo, Michigan is 53 today. Sipping whiskey out the bottle, not thinking about tomorrow. Singing Sweet Home Alabama all summer long. It was on this date in 2013 that Lance Armstrong confessed to doping as part of an Oprah Winfrey special. Operation Desert Storm began the Persian Gulf War this day in 1991, and this is the anniversary of when Prohibition began in the U.S. Alcohol was made illegal this day in 1920 and would go on for the better part of that decade and lead to all kinds of crimes and colorful stories as a result. So, Melissa, how you coping with the weather there? Did you get much for that snowstorm the other day?
We didn't do too badly, but yeah, the cold is definitely cold. My furnace does not stop running and my feet are still cold. Doesn't matter how many layers I put on.
Mm-hmm. Are you part of the driveway crew to get in and out of your place, or do you have?
I have, fortunately my boyfriend has access to a plow truck, so he just goes and gets it and zips it out. I don't have to do anything.
Does he want to come down to Kenosha and help me out?
This is the first time in my life, I'll have you know. I have shoveled my fair share of driveways.
Yeah. Oh, yes. I don't miss that one bit. Today is National Customer Service Day. It's also Museum Selfie Day. It is Bootleggers Day, which, of course, is a hat tip to Prohibition. It is Popeye Day for the cartoon character. And
we should eat spinach.
Spinach to go along with your This Is Hot Buttered Rum Day. So hot buttered rum and a little bit of spinach
and
I guess.
Some bootleggers. Oh, wow. Yep. It's going to be a tippy day.
Yes. Yeah, it is.
Get arrested in a museum trying to take a picture of yourself.
Well, I was going to say, because some museums.
You're not supposed to put the hat on, Greg.
Yes. Some museums are good on photos, some not so much, or at least not the flash photography. So yeah, please abide by the rules as appropriate.
And don't go drunk.
And no, please don't go drunk with any moonshine or anything else like that. My wife talks about how her grandpa was a moonshine runner for a time, but she doesn't know a lot of the details. And I really want to find out if maybe one of the aunts and uncles or somebody like that could fill in some of those blanks, because I mean, there was a lot of that going on in eastern Wisconsin, of course, you know, coming up from Al Capone, Chicago, and you know. Again, it was illegal. A lot of bad things happened. A lot of people were killed. A lot of people were jailed. But there were also all kinds of stories that came out of that era. And
bathtub gin.
Yep. I'd love to hear more about that as well. Melissa, thanks for visiting with us, telling us what's coming up on Locally Grown Radio.
Always a pleasure, you guys.
Keep those feet warm out there, and we'll talk to you a little later on.
We can. See ya.
All right. In our second hour, we will talk to State Senator Jeff Smith from the Eau Claire area, talk about what Republican state senators did yesterday in firing baselessly another one of Governor Tony Evers' appointees, and his bill for ranked choice voting and his...
Tell a friend what's on tap. There's a new station in town with conversation about Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire, and the Chippewa Valley. This is 93.5 The Tap. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Latrell spent more than 8 years in foster care. His world changed when he was adopted at 15 with help from the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption.
I think about how much we love him, and I wish we could have had him for his entire childhood.
The Foundation is changing the lives of thousands of teens waiting in foster care. You can help. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.